of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Has he been good to you? Amen. 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 Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together once again. And as Mike said, we're certainly thankful and grateful for our visitors tonight. We've over half the church decided to get out of the hot weather, and the school's out, and so they decided to go and here and there and everywhere. And so we're praying for them to come back safely, and then it'll be our turn, I guess, right? Yeah. We'll go find that mountain to climb up on top of and cool off. Anyway, we're just glad to have each and every one of you with us tonight. And our prayer is that something would be said that would help you, encourage you. We just have some simple thoughts that we want to share tonight from the Word of God. And we know that if it comes from the Word of God, that we can count on it, that our faith will find its resting place always in the unfailing words of promise in God's Word. And so we thank the Lord for His goodness and His mercy, and we thank Him for the opportunity to gather together once again with those of like precious faith and those that believe in Him and in His power to transform, His redeeming grace and mercy and love. And so we just have a simple thought we want to share tonight, and trust that faith will raise in the building, and then we'd like to, there's some very specific needs that we want to pray for tonight, and then as with any other time, there's no doubt other needs that we know nothing about, but He knows. So He's always on time. Amen. So we'd like to read tonight from actually a couple portions of Scripture. I apologize ahead of time for keeping you standing, but you'll be sitting for a little while, so Psalm chapter 145 and verse 18, Philippians chapter 3 verses 9 through 16, and then Luke 16 verses 16 through 17. So starting at Psalm 145 and verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. Is there any exceptions here? Is there any except and maybe, and if you cross your fingers, or except on Wednesdays, or on his days off, or no, this is a positive statement here, and it's simple, and it's something that you can count on. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. And be found in Him, Paul says, not having my own righteousness. We're not counting on our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. In other words, Paul's not putting it on cruise control. He's not saying, I've arrived, and waiting for the rest of you dummies to catch up. Not as though I had already attained, either were already made perfect. We're already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Now that doesn't mean sinless perfection, but what that means is you've come to the maturity in Christ as a believer. Be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. One more portion of Scripture, if you'll just bear with me. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Speaking of John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. God's word cannot fail.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand before you, Lord, there's nothing that we bring that's of any value. We whatever we are, you gave to us, and whatever you made us, that's what we are. But Lord, we want to give you whatever we have and surrender to you, and we want to make our we want to make love to you, Lord. We want to express our appreciation, and we want to come to you, Lord, as little children with expectation that whatever we have need of, your word will provide. And Lord, we pray that as your word goes forth, that it'll bring deliverance, that it'll bring healing, that it'll bring salvation, it'll bring whatever it is that we have need of tonight, Lord, you know, and you sent your word for that very purpose. So we ask that you would anoint your word tonight, that you would quicken it, that it would go from being a dead letter to be a living word. And Lord, that it would be quickened, that it would bring life, that it would perform the thing that you sent it to do, and that would be the interpretation of it. Bless each and every one. We ask for a special blessing, Lord, tonight on our visitors, and may they leave recharged. May they leave with more than they came. May they receive whatever it is that they're needing from you or desiring. And Father, we know that you will withhold no good thing from us, that it is your pleasure to give us the things of the kingdom. So I ask that your blessings be upon each and every one. Lord, that you forgive us of our failures, our slowness of heart, Lord, our sins. And Father, cover us with your blood from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet tonight. Lord, we don't come in one sense. We come just as humbly as we know how. But we don't come, Lord, with fear and trepidation. We come boldly in another sense, knowing that we are not going to be sons and daughters of God. We are sons and daughters of God, and you're a good Father. And Father, you've given us so many precious, exceeding great and precious promises, as Peter says. And Lord, we've come to collect tonight, unashamedly, unabashedly. And we just want to put the kingdom of hell on notice tonight, that your word prevails, that your word has a preeminence. Father, speak to our hearts, provide whatever faith that we have need of, and we surely will give you all praise, all honor, and all glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to title the thought tonight for a few minutes, Persevering in the Hour of Death. Persevering in the Hour of Death. And that's a very familiar thought, perhaps, and it's a simple thought, but we're not looking for complicated. We're looking to get a hold of something and put it into use. Amen? So tonight, I want to speak on one word and one word only, and that word is perseverant. And let's see, did I put that in the notes? I believe I did. That word perseverant means the holding of a course of action, belief, or purpose without giving way. In other words, there's no other option. To remain constant to a purpose, to an idea, or task, listen to this, especially in the face of obstacles or discouragement, it implies unremitting and sometimes annoying persistence. That means that, you know what, this might offend you, but I still want what I've come for. And no is not an option. I'll be here if you turn me away tonight. You'll find me on your doorstep in the morning, because I have no other alternative. I've come for what you promised me, and there's no retreat. I've come to possess what you promised me. We need to have that kind of faith, friends. A dogged and determined holding on. A bulldog faith. Anybody familiar with a bulldog? This is a dog that was bred. It was bred for the specific purpose of fighting. That's it. There's no other purpose. It's not, oh, cuddle, cuddle, cuddle. And, you know, isn't he cute? No, he's ugly. It's not something that you want as a bed warmer. It's trained for fighting. And it's trained in such a way that it will go for the jugular vein. It'll go for the throat, no matter what it's fighting, whether it's a dog or some other animal, it'll go for the jugular, and it'll grab a hold, and it won't let go. And the other dog can go this way and that way and humiliate that dog, flop it around, and it can look like, you know, something just getting thrown around like a rag doll, but it's not going to let go. It holds on and it doesn't release that grip. In fact, if the other animal relaxes a little bit, then it tightens its grip until it eventually takes the life of that other animal. So defeat is not an option. There is no other option. That's what we call bulldog fate. Holding on, there is no other option. So to persevere, it means to press through all obstacles, no matter what they are, no matter how they look. And defeat is not an option. Now, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, he tells us, giving all diligence, he says, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and so on and so forth. And we find out that the word diligent means marked by persevering, characterized by steady, earnest, and painstaking effort. In other words, you're not going to give up. Right? You're not doing anything except believing. You're not doing anything except standing. You're not doing anything except holding on. But that is an action. Pressing through all obstacles and not considering what stands in your way. Well, this is a big problem. That's in my way. I can't get past that. Oh, this is a little problem. I can get past. No, it doesn't matter what's in your way. You consider not the obstacle. Amen. And defeat is not an option. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, Paul tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Speaking of pleasing God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's that word diligence once again, which means perseverance. Faith always has a reward, friends. And God will never, ever, ever turn away true faith. But our faith must be constant. Our faith must be unwavering. Our faith must be steadfast. It must be diligent. Yes. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes. So even the faith that's necessary, it comes from God. Everything comes from God. Every good thing comes from God. Yes. Everything we have need of comes from him, but we must be willing to receive it. We must be willing to believe it. We must be willing to accept it. And of course, we know that faith is a revelation. Faith is a knowing. You know, it's hard to describe to people sometimes. It's a knowing. You didn't know, but now all of a sudden you know. There's no question. It's just dropped in there and it's settled. Circumstances may be exactly the way that they were before, but your faith is telling you a different reality. Your faith is declaring something that's unseen, that and is saying that's more real than what I'm seeing. So it is a knowing as opposed to an I hope so. Now, hope is a beautiful thing, and hope is a nice thing, and hope has its place. But hope is hoping for what faith already possesses. There is a rest that comes with faith because faith already knows the outcome of the situation and is therefore without fear. Faith is literally a substance, Paul tells us in Hebrews, but it's not a substance that can be seen with the human eye. The thing that you are believing in is made of faith, or exists entirely by faith, or came into being by faith. When God created the heavens and the earth, where did the matter come from? It came forth, he spoke it. And then God did an amazing thing. He believed his own word. Now, friends, don't take that lightly. If God ever doubts his word, then whatever is in being will cease to be in being. God believes his word. So faith is not hope, because hope is desiring what faith already possesses. Hope is the cherished desire, but faith is the product of that desire and hope. And faith is not out of the reach of anybody that's listening this evening. The source of faith is God. And it comes by hearing his word spoken to you. And when God speaks to your soul, and you accept his word that's been spoken to you without doubting, well, then it's settled. Nothing else is required. It's amazing, but it's just the human condition, I suppose, and also in the particular age that we're living in, you know, where we try to do everything. You know, we try to make this happen, or we try to make that happen. God never told you to do any of it. Just take him at his word. But it seems like we got to try all these other things, and then if we're not careful, we neglect the only part that we have, which is to believe. To only believe. To take God at his word. Amen? His word is power. And his word, he will quicken it. And his word, he will bring it to pass. If it was us, we'd brag about it. If it was us, we'd get a big, you know, I did this. You need to do the same thing, right? But no, what we are doing is we're taking God at his word and we're surrendering. And we're saying, as they asked Jesus to teach him how to pray, he said, pray this way. He said, let thy will in heaven, let what is done in heaven be done on the earth. Amen. Not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the source of our faith is from God, and it comes by hearing his spoken word to you. And nothing else is required. When you take God at his word, it's settled. This is simple, friends. We make it complicated. We try to come up with exceptions. There are no exceptions. Nothing else is required. And your search is over. But that does not mean the battle is over. In many cases, the battle has just begun. But the outcome is determined. The outcome is certain. You just somehow know that the victory is yours. Just as when you give your heart to the Lord Jesus and that big burden, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You lay down that big load of sin and it's lifted from you, and somehow you know that it is settled. Somehow you know that Christ is your Savior, and somehow you know that you have been forgiven of your sin. You can't prove it to anybody. You are now a new creature when you're born again of the Spirit of God. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. But can you prove that to anybody? No, but you believe it. And all fear is gone. When you take God at his word, all fear is gone. So it often starts out as it. Now, I know this is just simple, but I just, you know, we just want to take God at his word. He's made it such that a fool could not err therein. It often starts out as a need or a desire in our hearts for something that we don't currently possess, or for a certain outcome that we desire from a situation in our lives. And if the thing that we desire is not outside of the will of God, and if you want to know if it's in the will of God or not, see if it's in the Word of God. Then we have every right, if it's in the will of God, we have every right as sons and daughters of God to ask for and to look for it to come into being. No exception. Just as a child has every right to ask of their parents and to be in expectation that their parents will provide. So, but then at an appointed time, as we hold on to our confession, God anoints. It may start out as a mental faith. It may start out as I've accepted it in my mind. And of course, you have to accept it in your mind, because it'll never find its resting place in your soul if you don't accept it in your mind. So recall that they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy soul, right? With all thy might, so with all of your being. And people can love God with their emotion, but not love God with all their might. Not love God with all of their mind. People can love God with their mind and not love him with their heart. You must love him with all of your being. So many times we'll start out with a mental faith. We've accepted it in our minds, and we'll have a mental confession of the promise of God. Well, that sounds good. This is what the Word of God says. That sounds good. Well, I'm just going to claim that. I'm just going to hold on to it. But then at the appointed time, as we hold on to our confession, God anoints that mental faith, and it becomes, as Paul says, substance faith. Faith is the substance of things not seen, things that are hoped for. Amen? So if we want anything from God, and all good things come from God, then we must work according to his laws. which are his ways, and we can find his ways in his word to us. We must serve God his way and not our way or some other man's way or the church's way. We must serve him his way. And if you want to know what his way is, it's in his word. And if we take him at his word, he's duty bound, friends, to back up his word and bring it to pass. He's not an honor. He's not. God is does not honor any person, but he honors his word. He's not a respecter of persons, but he's a respecter of his own word. And he will bankrupt heaven before he will allow one promise received into a believing heart to fail to come to pass. That's the God we serve tonight. Our God cannot fail. If he said it, you can take it to the bank. We're living in a time where people don't know what to believe and who to trust. I do. I trust in him. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen. I can trust him. I trust him with my soul. I trust him with my family. I trust him with the leadership of the church. I trust him at home. I trust him to put gas in the car. I trust him for my health. I trust him to provide. I trust him for my salvation. If I should go the way of the grave, I trust him to bring me up again. That's the God I serve tonight. I'm in all the way tonight, friends. Amen. So God has natural laws and God has spiritual laws. And we need to understand his laws. And we need to have confidence in his laws. And then work according to them. And they really are simple. We see that God likewise, he has spiritual laws, he has natural laws. And if we work within the confines of those laws, we have every right to expect certain results. We have an expectation that things are going to go a certain way. We believe in or accept those natural laws, and we work according to them, and we expect results. Something as simple as turning on a light switch. You turn on the light switch, and what do you expect to happen? You expect light to appear, right? If you flip the switch and nothing happens, you don't give up on the laws of electricity. You don't say, well, I guess it wasn't for me. It's just for certain people. Well, that guy, he's stronger than I am. You don't give up on the laws of electricity or believing that current flowing through a wire of a certain material will always result in light being generated. No. If the light fails to appear, you go back and find out which law you violated. Maybe there's a break in the wiring somewhere. Maybe the switch is faulty. Maybe the light bulb is loose. Maybe the light bulb is burned out. So you correct whatever the problem is, but you believe in those laws. And you work according to those laws. You exercised faith tonight when you sat down on the chair. Right? You say, oh, no, I didn't. Well, how'd you know it was going to hold you up? You don't know that. Well, because it held me up before. You have no guarantee that the next time that you sit in that chair, that it's going to hold you up. I trust that it will. I hope that it does. But you're exercising faith when you sit down in that chair. When you get up in the morning, you expect the sun to come up. Right? Well, why do you expect it? Because it came up yesterday. Well, just because it came up yesterday don't mean it's coming up tomorrow. But you believe that it will. And so you prepare and you go to work. And the day before, you're already making plans for the next day based on faith. I worked in the field of high-frequency radio waves for most of my career. And we played a small part now and then in advancing the understanding of the laws that govern the behavior of radio waves as they propagate through different materials and circuits and what have you. You can't see a radio wave. You can't hear a radio wave. You can't taste a radio wave. You can't smell one. Hopefully you don't feel one. You can't sense a radio wave with touch. Well, of course, that's not quite true anymore. Just before I left Raytheon, we were working in the field of, well, we were working up at 94 gigahertz, which is, it's pretty high frequency, and we found out that there's something that's called skin depth, and that's the depth that a radio wave will permeate into your skin, right? And, you know, the longer, like AM and FM radio waves, those waves travel right through you, right? So somebody says, well, get the transmitters behind you and the receivers over there. Get out of the way. You're standing in the way. No, I'm not. It goes right through you because the wave is so long, right? But as the wavelength gets shorter and shorter, then the penetration is shorter and shorter. Well, we found out that at 94 gigahertz that radio wave at 94 gigahertz will penetrate your skin 1/64th of an inch. And it turns out that's where 1/64th of an inch, that's where your nerve endings reside. And we found out that if you were able to generate that kind of energy and then put somebody in a beam of this energy, they're going to stop. They will experience excruciating pain and no damage. And they will just by reflex stop whatever they're doing, right? And you can imagine some of the, you know, here comes somebody and they're wearing a backpack and they're kind of toward a high value, you know, power plant or something like that. And the guy says stop and they don't stop. And, you know, and you don't know if he's got a bomb wrapped around him or whatever. Well, point that, it's called a directed energy weapon. Point that beam at him, he'll stop. There's no thought involved. It's just a natural reaction. And of course, they were struggling with, you know, we're living in such a lawsuit kind of a society. You know, the lawyers were trying to work the details. Well, what if somebody, you know, claims trauma and, you know, this and that? And it does no damage, but it feels like you're being burned, right? So excuse me for that little tangent there. There's the exception where you can actually feel it if you can generate enough power. But other than that, what I'm trying to get at is that radio waves are or in another dimension, if you will, that's beyond the dimension of our natural senses, right? Yet we believe that they're there, yet I can't prove it to you, right, with my natural senses. So you believe that a radio wave will behave in certain ways and that it's governed by certain laws, and you work according to those laws, and you expect, not hope, you expect to get certain results. And you must believe in those laws. And when you don't get the expected results, you find out what you're doing wrong. Because the laws are laws. Whether it's a spiritual law or whether it's a physical law, we can learn from nature. God's written a Bible in nature that we can even nature proclaims the laws of God. So friends, the same is true this evening concerning God's word that he's given us. As an example, let's take Acts chapter 2, where Peter preaches and the people are convicted and they said, what should we do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to your children's children, to even them that are afar off, right? So it's a promise in God's word. It's not just for certain people, right? Well, it is for certain people, those that believe, right? So why don't we see more people receiving the Holy Ghost then? Well, go back and see what law that they are in violation of. Have they truly repented? And much of the time, that's the issue. Their heart hasn't been turned. They don't have a sorrowful, heartfelt conviction and they're repenting maybe of certain things, and maybe repentance to them is, you know, I'm sorry that this bad situation happened. Not that I caused it, but I'm sorry that I got in trouble or whatever, you know. But true repentance is sorrowful, and you'll do whatever you can to make it right. You won't make excuses. You won't try to bargain. You just come clean, right? So truly repent, give your heart to the Lord, and be baptized in Christian baptism, and you're promised the gift of the Holy Ghost. So have they truly repented with their heart? Do they truly believe his promised word will work for them? You can't believe and doubt at the same time. So sometimes it's just a matter of, well, I believe it'll work for this one or that one, but I'm an exception. And the devil will give you all kinds of reasons and excuses. You're not good enough. Well, just agree with him. Get it over with. You're right. I'm not good enough. What's your point, devil? Well, you did this, this, and this. Yeah, but devil, God don't see that anymore. You do. And you're trying to get me to think that I'm unworthy, that there's some reason why I can't receive it. No, I'm taking God at his word. All things are possible to them that believe. Amen. So our text this evening, finally getting to our text, it comes from a familiar story, which we'll just spend a few minutes on here tonight, in St. Matthew, the 15th chapter, starting at the 21st verse. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, in Mark's accounting of this, he says that she was a Syrophoenician woman or a Greek. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Now, she's a little confused here because this is the same one that will be the son of David in the millennium. But right now, he's in the office of son of God, right? So he's not going to respond to her because she's not calling him by the right title. Right? That would be like somebody coming up to me and calling me Father, Brother Augustine coming up and saying, "Father Doug." I'd have to correct him. I'd have to say, "Well, first of all, I'm not a Catholic priest. Second of all, I'm not your father. I am a father," right? If my son calls me Father, I'll respond because that's the office that that I'm in. Right? And he has a right to call me that, right? But if Brother Augustine says pastor, well, he'll get my attention. Or if he calls me Doug, or right? Just don't call me late for dinner. So she says, "Oh, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. Well, What way is that for God to treat you? And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." She's got a problem and she's bugging us. The word, the saying vexed with the devil, it comes from the Greek word dahi, manid, zomahi, whatever. Glad I don't speak Greek. To be under the power of a demon. In the New Testament, this is from the Bible researchers. In the New Testament, these are persons afflicted with especially severe diseases, either bodily or mentally, such as paralysis, blindness, deafness, loss of speech, epilepsy, melancholy. See, that's a devil. Insanity, well, we know that's a devil, whose bodies, in the option of the opinion of the Jews, demons had entered and so held possession of them as not only to afflict them with ills, but also to dethrone the reason and to take its place themselves. Accordingly, the possessed were wont to express the mind and consciousness of demons dwelling in them, and their cure was thought to require the expulsion of the demon. In other words, casting that spirit out. So we have to understand, first of all, friends, in the context of this story, that there was segregation in those days between the Jew and the Gentile, and between the Jew and the Samaritan. And recall that the Samaritan is not a Jew or a Gentile, but it's kind of, you know, a hybrid, a mixture of both. And so it was actually at that particular time, shockingly as it may sound, it was politically correct to be bigoted because Jews had no fellowship with the Gentiles. Gentiles had no fellowship with the Jews. The Samaritans had no rights and what have you. So this woman, no doubt, she heard that there was a deliverer in the land. And she'd heard of all the mighty wonders and all the miracles that were taking place in the land. Certainly, she didn't understand the full significance of what was taking place at that time, and it wasn't important. But her daughter had a need, and everyone that she went to couldn't help her. There were nice people, good people, lovely people, gifted people, but they couldn't help her. So think of it, friends. The scripture doesn't tell us precisely what her daughter's condition was, and frankly, or what she was possessed of, but I'm actually glad that it doesn't. Because if it was some specific thing, then we'd only apply this scripture to some specific thing. But it doesn't matter what it was. You see, it doesn't matter what kind of a devil it was that possessed her daughter, whether it be sickness, whether it be leukemia, whether it be blindness, whether it be insanity, whether it be COVID-19, this approach will work for any condition. And the church says, well, friends, we've come way too far for the devil. The devil can't explain this away. We've got so many testimonies. God's word is true. And he's vindicated it time and time and time again. So all we know is that her daughter had a need, and her mother looked beyond the condition and wanted her daughter back in her right mind. It didn't matter what her daughter's faith said. It didn't matter what her daughter had done or hadn't done. It didn't, or what brought her into this present condition. The love of that mother's heart for her daughter, it put her into a state of desperation, and she looked for a cure, and she was perseverant. We don't know how long her daughter had been in this condition. We don't know what church they attended, and we don't care. Maybe her church didn't believe in divine healing, or maybe they offered seminars or some kind of self-help program and in place of a living God. Friends, you know, I don't want to sound, I'm not critical. God bless an organization that will try to help make life a little bit easier for you, right? But let's take Alcoholics Anonymous as an example. I've tried to use this example overseas many times, and they just stare at me. What's that, you know? But most of us are familiar with that, right? And so you go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and you must confess that you are an alcoholic. Not that you were, you are. And you always will be, right? You get up, my name is Joe Smith, and I'm an alcoholic. I trust there's no Joe Smiths here tonight. I'm an alcoholic, right? And well, welcome, Joe. Yeah, well, the rest of us are too. And, you know, we formed a pack here. And, you know, if you feel like you're kind of getting weak, you know, just call us up. We'll try and strengthen you and whatever and try to get you through. But you're never going to get over this. Right. Now, churches can be that way too. Right. Churches can try to tame you down like the man from Gadara. Right? But those demons will, they'll just flare up, and you'll find that those denominational chains won't hold you. They won't keep you. They won't tame that devil. Amen? So we're not critical of Alcoholics Anonymous. God bless them for what they're trying to do. But we're not looking for to manage a problem here tonight. We're looking for deliverance. Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And he came to set the captive free. Period. And he's still setting captives free today. So maybe they had some kind of a 10-step program that was teaching her daughter how to live with her condition. We've got a 3-step program. Repent, be baptized, and you shall receive. Maybe she was taking herbs or had a doctor draining blood from her so that, you know, isn't that amazing? You say, well, Brother Baker, how could you be a man of science and a man of God at the same time? Very easy. We can see God's laws in science. We don't look at, science will tell you it's not perfect. Science will tell you we're learning, right? Science is looking backwards and examining and this happened and that happened and trying to have some kind of an understanding. And as long as those that understanding doesn't contradict God's word, it's a help. And we appreciate that, right? But science is not our God. Science is not what we're putting our trust in. God is. And science can only take us so far, but God can take us the whole way. So maybe her so-called church said, we're believing for your deliverance. But her daughter was just getting worse. Whatever the situation might have been, friends, this mother had heard of a deliverance ministry that was in the land. And her understanding was that it was the Son of David that was bringing deliverance throughout the land. Something in her heart said, if I can get to this Son of David, My daughter will be made well. Well, who told her that? It just dropped in her heart. He'll do it for me. I just know it. She'd heard that he'd come nearby and she'd made her way to try to get to him. And she, no doubt, friends, faced many obstacles just trying to get to where Jesus was. And likely she met many scoffers along the way. She might have faced doubts and fears along the way as well. This woman was a Greek. She was a Syrophoenician woman. She was not a Jew. But she considered not her race. She considered not her background. But she looked only for the desired outcome. So when the mother gets to Jesus, to where Jesus is, she begins to cry out to Jesus. And she begins to ask for mercy. Now remember, she's not asking for herself. She's asking for her daughter. She tells him that her daughter needs deliverance. And the Lord Jesus, he's been pressured for days now. He's beat. He's worn out. He's in need of rest. In the book of Mark, it says that they'd actually went somewhere and shut themselves in so that, virtue had gone out from them. So that strength could be restored. And this mother addresses him as Son of David, which is his future office, as we said, when he rules and reigns with his bride in the millennium. And he doesn't answer her. And too many will stop right there. They'll ask God for something. They don't hear anything in return. Well, guess that didn't work. Now we'll go and see if they'll pull mercury out of my feet, and maybe that'll work. You know, if not, then I'll wear these magnetic bracelets. And if that don't work, well, then I'll try keto. And if that don't work, then I'll try essential oils. I believe in essential oils, but there's only one oil that's essential, and that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it'll cure whatever ails you, friends. Brother Baker, you're making me mad. You're making me nervous. I'm selling that on the site. Well, take some of the lavender then. It'll calm you down. And if it don't, you're a liar. So Jesus needs rest. He's been pressured. He's been fighting demons for casting out devils, and virtue has left his body. She addresses him as Son of David, and he doesn't answer her. And too many would stop right there, friends. Brother Doug, I prayed to the Lord for a need, and he didn't answer. Maybe I'm supposed to live with this thing for the glory of God. Well, exactly how is God getting glory? Well, maybe he didn't hear me. Oh, God needs a hearing aid? Is that what you're telling me? Maybe I'm not worthy. You aren't. Get over it. Don't let that be an obstacle. Well, maybe he doesn't do these things anymore. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he ever did it one time for one person, he's duty bound to do it for you. Oh, he's still doing it, friends. Believe me. Well, maybe I'm supposed to just believe I got it. Well, the problem with that, fundamentally, that's a true statement. Fundamentally. But people don't know what believing is. They're confusing believing with hope. Or they're confusing believing with accepting something in their mind, which is a first step. And you should accept it in your mind. But at some point, it's got to find its resting place. Where there's no other alternative. You know that you know that you know. Amen. In the account in Mark chapter 7, verse 24, we're told that Jesus entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. So he went into the house, shut the door. He was hiding from her, seemingly, and perhaps from others like her that were following him. No doubt he needed rest. And there would be no end to the press if he stayed in the prayer line. The prayer line would just go on and on. It would never end. Because there's never an end to the needs. So the disciples of the Lord, they then try to get rid of her. But she won't be turned away by preachers. And she won't be turned away by the church. No matter what they might say to her, no matter how they might treat her, well, so-and-so didn't shake my hand. I came to church and I was looking for something from God, and Brother Michael didn't shake my hand. Well, did you come to see Brother Michael? Or did you come to see God? You're defeating your own testimony. He'll shake your hand. Don't worry. Yeah, or give you some lavender if you get upset. You see, she didn't come here to see preachers. She didn't come here to see the church. She came there to have an audience with the great physician. And she could not be turned away. No matter what teachings they tried to shove down her throat, no matter what exceptions, how they tried to explain it away, they no doubt called her names. They no doubt told her, you know, you're not even a part of the church. You're not even savable. You're cannon fodder. We're only ministering to the lost sheep of Israel. And they probably felt pretty good about this because she was a Syrophoenician woman. So they must have tried very hard to get rid of her because she wouldn't leave. And so they went into the house to Jesus and told him, we can't run her off. We want you to go out there and run her off. We know you're tired, but we don't know what else to do. And if you don't go out, she's going to break down the door. Why didn't they just pray for her? What a novel concept. So Jesus comes to her and he tests her faith. Faith will always be tested. If it is faith, it'll be tested. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him. Now friends, think about it. He just told her, I'm not sent to you. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. He first tells her, in other words, look, you know that there's segregation in the land, and you know that the Jews have no dealings with the Gentiles. I'm only sent to provide medical assistance to the lost sheep of Israel. She didn't argue with him. She didn't rebuke him. She didn't stomp off in a huff. She did a very strange thing next. She got on her knees in the presence of the king, and she began to sing, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. You're worthy. No matter if you don't do nothing for me, you're worthy. Let that break on you, friends. That'll change your approach. She called him Lord, and she asked him for help. You know something's fixing to happen. Verse 26, just in the approach, friends. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take children's bread and cast it to dogs. And the disciples, they look at one another, whoa, that was a zinger. And they're just high-fiving one another. We knew he'd deal with her. You know what, Lord, that's what we called her too. We called her a mangy old dog. Kick her away, Lord. She's worth less than a dog. The Lord is basically telling her, this medicine is for my children. I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not supposed to waste this medicine on animals. He called her a dog. Again, how many would have left at that point? Her faith was being tested. Oh, friends, thank God for true faith. Her faith was being tested to see if her confidence was in her natural lineage, who she was after the flesh, or if her confidence was in the promised word in spite of the circumstances. And she said, truth, Lord. Wow. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Look, Lord, I'd be the last person to ask you to take medicine that's being given to children and give it to me instead. There's crumbs that are falling on the floor that are just going to go to waste. And I don't need something on a plate. Just give me a crumb. There's enough power in a crumb to heal my daughter of whatever ails her. I don't need a full bowl. I don't need a full four-course meal or seven-course meal. Just give me a crumb. Just a little portion. She's not being disrespectful. She's not being bratty towards him. She takes the humble approach, which is the only way that you will get anything from God. If you go to God thinking he owes you something, friends, you have lost. There's not a one of us that's going to get to the other side that's going to say, you know what, God, you owe me. He'll owe no man. He's given you more than you can ever, ever repay. No, he will owe no man. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The word of God tells us that he resists the proud, but he reveals himself to those of a broken and contrite spirit. So she tells him, look, I'm not wanting to take bread away from the children's mouths. But if something falls off the table while they're eating, aren't the dogs permitted to eat it from off the floor? And I'm not too proud to take it from the floor. If I'm no better than a dog at the master's table, I know that you will allow the dogs to eat too once the children are fed. I don't need a fresh loaf of bread. Just a scrap from the table will do. For it's the same substance that the children are eating. It's not quantity, it's quality. It's the same substance, friends. So she was willing to be absolutely humiliated because she had a greater goal than protecting her pride. And pride is a horrible thing, friends. And pride hinders so much. It hinders people from going on with God because their pride gets in the way. In fact, that's the problem with the age that we're living in. They say, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. That's what they say. And God turns around and said, nah, that's what you say. But here's what I have to say. You are naked. You are wretched. You are poor. You are blind. That was all of us. He said, but I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire and raiment, white raiment, that thy nakedness doth not appear. And to anoint thine eyes with eye salve, and be zealous, therefore, and repent. What an opportunity that we have in this hour. All of us were wrong, right? None of us were right. All of us were wrong. Paul said we were as all others, but God, who's rich in mercy. Hallelujah. He didn't leave us in that condition. Friends, everything he's done is to bring us up. He didn't come to stomp us down. We were down. He came to lift us up. Somebody say, praise the Lord. She was willing to do whatever it took. Call me whatever you want. Treat me however you want. I'm still persevering. I'm still here to collect. She had a greater goal in mind than protecting her pride. And that is the trouble, friends, so much of the time today. People have a condition that's caused by a devil, and they defend it out of pride rather than coming clean. Now, it isn't your fault, right? But God is a healer. God is a deliverer. And God wants to prove himself to you. Amen. So much of the time, deliverance comes solely when the person comes clean about a matter. If somebody has a critical spirit that came after they were hurt in life, as long as they say, well, you know, that's just my temperament, that's just how I am, well, that critical spirit will never leave because they're defending it. This mother had a greater goal in mind than being treated softly by the Messiah himself. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, as you said, if you say. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Do you believe that tonight, friends? In Mark chapter 7, verse 29, and he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. Not for what you said. We had a sister by the name of Hattie Wright in our day that said the right thing. For this saying, ask what you will and you can have it. Imagine if she hadn't have said the right thing. Well, her name would have been Sister Hattie Wrong. But her name was Sister Hattie Wright. She said the right thing. That ain't nothing but the truth. It is that simple. Just take God at his word. He's waiting for somebody to take him at his word. For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. At that very moment. So look at how that faith got a hold of the word. The word responds to faith. Notice he said, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. In other words, ask what you will, and that's what will be done. But he knows she's asking in faith. So Jesus is demonstrating to us how faith operates. And he told us, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Amen. Believing. Here's how to ask. You ask in faith. I realize this is a simple thought here tonight, but we just go right over the top of simple things many times. You ask in faith, believing that you're going to receive what you ask for, and that's it. With a childlike faith. We have become so jaded that our inclination is to doubt first and not to believe. We are such cynics. Now, in our defense, we're living in such a deceitful time and a deceitful hour. Everybody's trying to lie to you and cheat you and claiming this and claiming that and claiming the other. The Food and Drug Administration had this food pyramid, and it started with carbohydrates at the bottom. You're supposed to eat all these, you know. And it turns out that they were in league with the, you know, with the agriculture and farmers. And the pyramid is actually upside down, right? And we find out that prescribed pyramid is actually killing you rather than, you know. My dad was a kind of a health food nut, and, you know, he was kind of a nut in that regard. And I just watched him, you know. One day coffee's a killer, the next day it'll extend your so many years, and right, all that. And we know that there's truth out there, right? But the world doesn't have a grasp on the truth, and there's so much lying and so much deceit. So we're afraid to believe. We're afraid to trust, right? But Jesus said, except you come to me as a little child, right? You shall in no wise enter into the kingdom. So we have to have a childlike faith. We have to, in fact, the theme of the message of our day is only
believe.
Right. That's our part. Be it unto me according to thy word. Let thy word be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? I'm going to take you at your word, God. That's the greatest compliment that you can pay God, is to believe him, to take him at his word. And it's a risky thing in this hour, isn't it? Well, what if I'm deceived? Well, that's where you got to put your trust all in him, right? And if you believe somebody and take them at their word and they lie to you, that's on them, right? You should take people at their word. You should give them this estimation in your eyesight. And if they choose to bring themselves down and prove that their word is not worthy, well, that's on them. But anybody can doubt. It doesn't take a gift to get to doubt. But we want to believe. We want to take God at his word. Help me out here tonight, friends. If we aren't sure that we can have it, we'll walk away. But if we have faith that we can have what we ask for, we'll stay there and we will get it. And we have no time table on it. We just have a promise. And that faith is common faith. It's as common as, you know, they were to take in the first Passover, they were to take hyssop, which is a very common plant that grows. It's actually oregano. That grows in Israel, and it's something that anybody could get a hold of, and they were to take that hyssop and dip it in the blood and apply the blood to the doorpost. Anybody could do that. It was in the grasp of anybody. So it's common. It's not complicated. And then once you apply that faith, the trial of your faith will come. But our part is to be sincere. Our part is to stay on course without wavering. And it will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. God's already declared it here. He's waiting for somebody to declare it down here. Both Satan and God are waiting for somebody to confess. So if you want anything from God, you must be perseverant. I'm going to pull over here in just a minute. Amen that I'm going to pull over? Or... You don't know me very well, do you? I didn't say stop. I said pull over. But I'm looking for a place to pull over. You know, it's kind of like driving on a mountain road, right? Honey, can we pull over? Well, as soon as I find a spot. You must be willing to press through every obstacle to get it. And Satan will challenge your faith. And faith will be tested to prove that it is faith. And faith will not give up, but will persevere. The woman wasn't asking for eternal life. She wasn't asking for anything for herself personally. She was asking for deliverance for her daughter. And she wasn't saying, well, you know, I'm just holding the token out, la-di-da-di-da. She was persevering. God will never pass aside anybody with faith. In Mark's account, we read that she ran home and found her daughter well and delivered. So this woman was perseverant in an hour of death. And she ran where she had to in order to find him. And she didn't stop at seeming rejection or silence even. The hour of death had to do with her daughter. Friends, we are living right now in an hour of death. But we have been promised that if we are sincere, that there's a people on the face of the earth that even death will be bound and placed under the feet of the body. And we will go in a body change. We will look at death and say, you know what? You've served your purpose. Death has been defeated already. But as Paul said, he said, all things have not been brought under his feet, though they are defeated. But here in the end time, death is just a limousine to take you off the scene. It's God's way of taking you home when your purpose is served here on the earth. And when the last one comes in, well, then we're going to look death right in the face and say, you know what? No more. We're not going that way. We're going in a change of a body. We're going in a rapture. So the hour of death had to do with her daughter, and we are living in the hour of, there's a spiritual death that's going out throughout the land, but they put him outside the door of the church and he's knocking, trying to get back in. We've been promised that that if we are sincere, death will be bound and placed under the feet of the body. Let me just read a couple statements for you, and we'll just pull over here in a minute. In the message, Perseverant, Brother Branham said, man of all ages that has faith in what they are trying to achieve has been perseverant. No man can be perseverant until first he knows what he's trying to achieve. And you first must know what you're trying to achieve, and then have faith that you're going to get what you're trying for. And that makes you persistent, something that you know is real. Remember there was a parable about an importune woman who was going to a judge and was pestering this judge, and the judge wouldn't respond, but he finally does because of her importunity. In other words, she persisted. So he wasn't trying to help her. He was trying to get her to go away. But he answered her need and her call because she wouldn't go away. And that's the way we must be. We must have bulldog faith. We must take God at his word, and he will perform it. And the church says, amen. Oh, I believe that tonight, friends. Don't you? Faith is based that way. Faith is not based upon a myth and upon something that go and do this or that on the words of some man. But faith takes its eternal resting place upon the word of the Lord, upon God's word, which is the Bible. And the church says, amen. And now man who has had faith in God has been very persistent in what they are trying to do. And we take man of all walks of life. For instance, George Washington here at Valley Forge, after praying all night in the snow up to his hips, was wet way up above his waistline, and the river was full of ice. But he caught a vision from God. He caught faith that God was going to give him the victory. And the river couldn't have had too much ice in it, though. Over 2/3 of his army didn't even have shoes on their feet. Their feet were wrapped in rags, standing in that cold. But yet he felt in his heart that God had given him a victory, and he had prayed through. The next day, we know that 3 musket balls went through his coat without touching him. And the river couldn't stop him. Neither could a musket ball stop him. He was persistent because he had prayed through. And he had faith in what he was doing in the one that was leading him. And that was God. Nothing is going to stop a man when he is perseverant. Nothing is going to stop a man when he is perseverant, when he knows what he's doing, and he's got faith in what he's trying to achieve. This will work for anybody. Our confidence is completely in him. So to receive anything from God, it requires perseverance. We must knock. We're told, knock and it shall be opened. Right? Ask and you shall receive. Right? So we read in the book of James that, think not that a double-minded man can receive anything from God, for he's unstable in all his ways. So defeat's not an option. If you have the faith, you will know that you have the faith. And if you don't have the faith, ask God for the faith. It's a win-win situation. So we must be focused on the objective, and we must not waffle back and forth. Now, your mind's going to do all kinds of things, but we're talking about the anchor down in the soul. Friends, we have a very definite goal in this hour. We are looking at the coming of a body change, and we are looking at the meeting in the air with our bridegroom, and we have been placed here in this last age to overcome everything that the enemy has raised up to try to conquer the church. In this hour, we are not here to be overcome and to make excuses, but we are here to be overcomers. And we overcome as a body in this hour. So in other words, we aren't all going to face the same challenges, but we will all be overcomers. Each one will overcome what's been placed before us as individuals. So think about it. We're living in an age where the second death cannot harm those that have chosen life. Those that go on to receive that life are promised, I will come, I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And if I've done that, I'll come back for you, right? Others are looking for a future that's off in the future, but we've been promised that life now. So it's Satan's job and Satan's objective to obscure our vision to the goal. But we've been given eye salve, and we have a love for the truth. And we have Caleb-type confession here tonight. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We are more than able. Not we are able, we are more than able. We're not just barely able, we are more than able. Let's take it at once. We wholly believe the word of God. That's the kind of confession that we have. So Satan is trying to tell believers that what they are after is not within sight, not within reach, that they just have to put up with certain things. And many times we see things with such clarity and we'll say, you know, I'm never going to lose that vision. But you do sometimes. And what causes that? Well, what causes it is focusing on the cares of life. It's a daily battle to remain focused. We must partake of the word every day. Amen. Jesus had a one-track mind, and he had his eye on one goal, and that was to please the Father, for his will, his word to be done. And that's our approach again this evening. Let me close with this. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent or the energetic take it by force." So it's been promised to us, but we got to take it. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, guess what? There were people occupying that land. They didn't say, "Well, you know, we thought it was for us, but there's somebody else here already." No, they went and said, "You know what? This is our land. You're squatting on our land. This is our property. God gave it to us. You must leave. Here's your eviction notice. No, we're not going to cohabitate. No, we're not going to live together. Get off my land." Hallelujah. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let me just skip a bunch of this here. So we are rugged sheep in this age, in this hour. We're not greenhouse plants that you got a pet and baby, and we're native plants. You know, I've often told people, they say, well, why don't you have this kind of plant or that kind of plant in your yard? Because I got to baby it if I do. I don't want anything in my yard that can't take care of itself. We can take people problems tonight. We can take whatever comes our way. We have a goal, and we are persevering toward it. And we must know what we are trying to achieve, and we must press toward it. If not, we will flow with the ebb and flow of the tides of life and the cycles of life. And we can see the vindication of darkness pressing on every side. How about the vindication of the light? If the darkness is pressing on every side, so is the light. Amen. So it's time for us, friends, to face down every obstacle and to say, devil, I don't know how you're going to be defeated, but I know that you stand in my way and you must give way. Amen. One of us is going to move and it ain't going to be me. I am taking my inheritance. I am driving every squatter off of my land. I am persevering in the hour of death, and death will be under our feet. I was given my inheritance based on my confession at Kadesh Barnea that we are more than able to take it. And I will stop at nothing short of my complete and full inheritance. Gates of hell, I put you on notice tonight. You cannot stand in my way. The gates of hell shall not prevail. I've been given a promise. And I've got paperwork here tonight called the Bible that says, you have something that belongs to me. So friends, if there's a devil that's taken your health, you have a claim tonight. If there's a devil that's taken your children, you have a claim tonight. If there's a devil that's robbed you of your peace, you have a claim tonight. If there's a devil that's taken away your joy, the joy of your salvation, you have a claim tonight. If there's a devil that's tried to obscure your eyesight and try to get you to see things in a blurry fashion, you have a claim tonight. But you're the one that has to make that claim. And we will stand with you. We will stand for you. We will believe with you. But we've got to believe together. We've got to take God at His word. We've got to claim what God has already promised us. We've got to claim it just exactly as if He was here. He would do that, but He said, if you say. So we're taking Him at His word. We're like the law enforcement officer. The law enforcement officer, the policeman, he doesn't make the law. But he just lets people know this is what the law is. And he'll stand in front of a 3,000-pound vehicle, 6,000-pound vehicle that's coming his way at a high speed and put his hand out and say, stop. Right? And that vehicle has to stop. Now, he doesn't have any power to make that vehicle stop, but he does have the authority. Amen? And that vehicle will stop. You have the authority tonight to put the kingdom of hell on notice. And if there are needs tonight, friends, it's time that we just put the devil on notice. And we just pray the simple prayer of faith and whatever the need might be tonight. We're told in the book of James, if there be any sick or afflicted amongst you, call the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith, maybe, might, under certain, if it's a full moon, if you've been a good boy. What does it even mean? The gooder you get, the more wretched you realize things are. The more sinful things are. We're not trusting in our own righteousness. We're trusting in His word. We're taking Him at His word. So I challenge the devil tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we could testify all night long, clear into the morning, and still have testimonies. Right? Some of the most recent ones. My sister, she had 80% blockage runs in the family. I gave you the rundown of all the family members. My older brother, who's 3 years older than me, has had a quintuple bypass. My dad had bypasses. His dad, his brothers, his sisters, on and on and on. So now my sister says, well, the Baker curse has come knocking on the door. And the doctor said, I have an 80% blockage. And so she asked for prayer. And we brought the need before the church. She went in for her visit, had an angiogram, and the doctor said, there is nothing wrong with your heart. Our sister Emma was led to believe that she was told, and we appreciate the doctors. They're doing all that they can, but they can't heal you. They can take things out, and they can set things up, but God's the healer, right? Our sister Emma was told that, you know, that she had a cancer or a tumor or whatever. She came forth for prayer, went back to the doctor. It's not cancer, right? We've had sisters that have been diagnosed with breast cancer. They go back and they can't find the cancer, right? On and on and on and on. We prayed for my dad. He had cancer. He had Parkinson's. What else did he have? He was on his deathbed. They said, come. He's just, you know, he might be gone before you get here. He had internal bleeding, and he was so fragile, they couldn't do anything for him. So they said, just come. So we prayed with the church. We went, and when we got there, they said, we don't understand. You know, and my sister's apologizing. Sorry, we, you know, called you up here because now all of a sudden he's stable and now all of a sudden the bleeding has stopped and now all of a sudden it's not, you know, and before the week was out, Parkinson's is gone. He got up, walked out of the hospital, and they gave him a standing ovation. They should have gave him a standing ovation because it's Christ that's the healer. I've seen God form an eyeball right in front of me. I saw an eye that had no iris, no sclera. And we're preaching in Myanmar. And this girl had a regular eye with a brown eye. And she had another eye with no equipment. And just simple preaching. And she came forward and she wanted to see out of that eye. We prayed a simple prayer. And when she opened her eyes, there were two brown eyes looking back at me. That's the God that we serve tonight, friends. And you know what's such a shame is that you hesitate to even give testimonies because you don't want to make it sound, you're certainly not drawing attention to yourself. It isn't you, it's him. But it's somebody taking God at his word. That's what we're trying to get across. It doesn't matter who it is. If you'll take God at his word, he'll perform his word. He's waiting. He's waiting for somebody to take him at his word. He's waiting to prove himself, to vindicate himself. He has already healed you. Friends, we had to learn these things because it sounds like you're lying. You know, when you tell somebody, you know what, you are healed. You don't have that sickness. And they'll say, well, you know what, that sounds like you're lying because I have these symptoms. Well, we don't deny that. We don't deny the symptoms. But the scripture says symptoms are lying vanities. So it's attacks of the enemy. And you are left to proclaim what's reality and what isn't. Are we going to take God at his word? Or are we going to listen to our symptoms? Right? If you take God at his word, those symptoms will leave. Now, they might not leave right away. Healing is a process. In fact, healing, a lot of times people are praying for a miracle. They want something to change right away. Nothing wrong with that, but healing is actually something greater. Because healing requires you to stand there and hold on and believe. Even when your stomach is still upset or whatever it might be. And you hold on. And you'll see it turn. Oh, friends, how many just raise your hand tonight and say, I know that's true. I have personally experienced that Christ is the healer. That Christ is the deliverer. That he changes things. That nothing can stand before him. That if we'll just come forth in faith believing, all things are possible. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I want to put the gates of hell on notice tonight, friends. You can't stand in the way. We've been given a promise. We have the word to prove it. And so I come tonight, and I want you to join me tonight in prayer. We have some real needs here tonight, friends. You know, cancer is something that is so prevalent in this hour. And it strikes fear in our hearts when a person hears the word cancer. But we don't fear cancer. Right? We're here. Cancer is no different than anything else. Right? If you fear it, well, how are you going to believe? Right? Cancer fears him. And it is a spirit. There's a life. When that life leaves that cancer cell, well, then the cell, your body has to get rid of the cell. But there's a perverted life. You know, that cell is growing in ways that it shouldn't. But we don't fear it, right? We come in the name above all names tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we tell anything that's attacking you, coming against you, robbing you, you must give way. Amen. Notice there's no negotiating. There's no land for peace. That's a lie anyway. Israel will give you land in exchange for peace. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Get off my land. I don't care if that's politically correct or not. Get off my land. Hallelujah. I'm here tonight, friends, to take what belongs to me, and I won't stop until it's mine. Amen. Who else will raise your hand tonight and say, I'm here to take what's mine? Let's give God glory tonight, friends. Let's give him the opportunity. Amen. Let's bow our heads here for a moment. Father, thank you for your unfailing words of promise. Forgive us for the chopped up word here tonight, Lord. But we believe that your word is true. We believe that you're still a deliverer. We believe that you're still in control. We believe that you are the author and giver of life. We believe that nothing can... everything has to go by your desk. Satan has to run things by you. He isn't given free will or free reign. You said that you would not put more on us than we could bear, but you would with every temptation. There is no temptation that has come upon us but such as is common to man. But you would with each temptation provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Lord, that escape doesn't mean that we won't have the trial. The escape means that we will be able to bear it, that we will be able to persevere and go beyond it and find the victory on the other side. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. Our confidence is in you. We have no confidence in ourselves. We never said we did. We're not. People think that when we operate faith that we're somehow lifting ourselves up or bragging about ourselves or drawing attention to ourselves. Not, that couldn't be any further than the truth. You're the only healer there is. You're the only deliverer. You're the great and mighty conqueror, but we're here to take you at your word tonight, Lord. And as your ambassadors, we are standing here on the earth and we are proclaiming according to your word. We're proclaiming here on the earth what your will is in the heavens. And Lord, we will not back up. We will not bow to the enemy. We will not fear. Though an host encamp about me, Psalm 27, whom shall I fear? Though the enemy come upon me to eat my flesh, that's sickness, disease, they fall away. You've placed me upon a rock. You've given me a place to stand. In the time of trouble, you'll hide me in your pavilion. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and behold the beauty of the Lord. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? You're the author and giver of life. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The enemy has no power. You defeated your enemy 2,000 years ago. We're not waiting for him to be defeated. He is defeated. But somebody has to enforce the claims that you purchased. Enforce the claims of Calvary. We're here to do that tonight, Lord. And we're not worried. We're not fretting. We're just letting the devil know. And we know, Lord, that when the weakest sinner gets on their knees, that Satan trembles. The kingdom of hell trembles. We know that these spirits are nervous because they're about to be cast out. And they must, not maybe, but they must give way to the name above all names, to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we're just going to simply take you at your word, in obedience to your word, and we're in full expectation that your word will come to pass. Father, I pray that you move upon each and every heart. I pray, oh God, that if there's any amongst us that has a need, that they'll take you at your word tonight, Lord. I pray that you give them the strength and the faith to stand. And Lord, we're ready to stand with them. They don't need to come up or sometimes, Lord, we do need to unite our faith together. You've given us so many options in your word. You've told us if two or more agree concerning anything, they could have it. But you've given other scriptures. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Or if there be any sick or afflicted amongst you, anoint with oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick. So you've given us, not if I say, but if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and don't doubt in your heart, you should have the thing that you ask for. So it's all dependent upon the circumstance and what we're going through. But Lord, we'll just take you at your word. There's no big I's or little U's here tonight. There is a big one here, and that's you, the captain of the host. You're here tonight. You said, I'd be with you even in you. And you're here to perform your will, to perform your word. And Lord, we just thank you ahead of time tonight. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your deliverance, for your salvation. And now, Lord, we commit it into your hands. And Lord, we're in expectation that there's going to be testimonies. Father, we're going to face down that devil tonight. Not literally the devil, but devils. The devils that afflict us, that come against us. And Lord, we know that you will give us the victory. And we will not consider any other option. I pray that you move upon each and every heart, Lord. I pray, Lord, that if there's no matter what the need, that faith would raise in this. I could feel the faith, Lord. There is a great faith bank here tonight. And Lord, we're asking that you would be glorified in our midst. Father, that your will would be done here. And we know that it is your desire to heal, to deliver, to see the manifestation of healing and deliverance and so forth, salvation, whatever, in our bodies. So we commit each and every one into your hands tonight. In the name above all names, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So we're going to invite you, if there's anyone that has a need that is desiring prayer, to come up and we're going to pray with you. You don't have to come up, but if that's your desire, if that's your need, we're going to invite you to do that. And if you don't have a need here tonight, just bow your heads and agree with us. Amen. Because something has to take place. Our dear brother, Bob, I've heard so many good things about him. And he's very liked and very well respected. Very good man. He's a doctor. He's a dentist. And God's gifted him in such a way he's served others. He's lived for others. It doesn't matter that he has this great reputation, but you know what? We have so much negative. Let's talk about some positive. Let's give it where it's due. Our dear brother has been diagnosed with a carcinoma that has metastasized and ended up in his lungs. Same thing happened to my dad. My dad had prostate cancer, and somehow it metastasized in his stomach, and they wanted to take his stomach out. And my brother and sister were saying, well, we think that's the right thing to do, and he could just eat from tubes and whatever, and you know, maybe that would save him. And I said, well, let's just take God at his word. And God healed him. So he's not a respecter of persons. He'll do it for anyone. Amen. But we just, you know, our heart goes out to anyone. But especially when someone is a believer, a Christian, and they're believing God and they're serving God, and the enemy, that rotten devil, he's a devil. There's no better word for the devil than a devil. He's just such a, right? How many sick and tired of that guy? Amen. So it's a privilege to stand with our brother in faith tonight, believing. So we want you to just agree together with us tonight. Amen. Brother Andy, would you come join us? Is that Brother Miramontes? Why don't you come? Would you come join us, brother? I don't care what language. Doesn't matter. We're just going to lay hands on our brother. It don't matter. Yeah. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. It's an honor, my brother. Father, we thank you for our dear brother. We know that you love him and his wife, his dear wife, Lord. We know that you care. Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, we know that it is your desire that my brother would prosper in health, even as his soul prospers. So, Lord, first of all, we bind any spirit of fear that wants to hang around and torment our dear brother. We know these spirits come around. It has nothing to do with our brother. It's a kingdom of hell that we're fighting. And they bring buddies along with them to try to stir things up. But we don't fear you tonight. We trust God. We're as little children. Our confidence is in our Lord. And we believe from the bottom of our hearts. It's a privilege, Lord, to stand with our dear brother. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak to you, spirit of cancer, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command you to come out of my brother's body. You are a defeated enemy. You have no rights. You are a squatter. You've already been defeated. You were defeated by our great captain 2,000 years ago. By his stripes, we are healed. That's our confession. So we're telling you to move off. We're telling you to take your symptoms and move away from my brother. You cannot torment him. You cannot feed on my brother's body anymore. We come against you in the name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to move on our behalf and based on what we say, but you do have to move based on what the Word declares. We're just obeying the Word of God. And we've seen you have to move time and time again. So one more time, we come to you, Lord Jesus, one more time, and we claim our brother's healing. We all confess it. We claim it in the name above all names. And now, Lord, may my brother's body line up to our confession tonight. Father, him being a man of science, knowing, Lord, the processes of healing and all of that, but knowing that you're the healer. Father God, we're trusting in you to initiate that healing and for your virtue to flow through my brother's body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I pray that you'd comfort my dear brother and my dear sister. I pray, Lord, that this testimony would draw others to you, that cause others to know you in ways that they wouldn't know you. And most of all, Lord, that it would bring honor and glory to your name, proving that you're the same God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're not some distant God, some historical God. You are a living God. You are God. You're the great I am. So we love you tonight, Lord. We thank you. We give you praise and honor and glory, and defeat is not an option. Lord, we're standing on your word. No matter what we see, no matter how we feel,
our brother's symptom might get worse for a period of time. We've seen that before. It might not. But Lord, we're convinced tonight that you are my brother's healer. You cannot lie. And we have no other confession but your word. So we stand upon it tonight, on your unfailing words of promise. And it's a great honor, Lord, to take you at your word. Bless our dear brother now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. 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 Glory to his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're taking him at his word. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you. Dios le bendiga. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone else tonight that has a need that we'd like to join our faith with you? If you anything at all, the waters are troubled. He is God. Amen. 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 There'll be peace tomorrow, sister. It'll be all right. Yeah, it'll work out. Don't worry. We committed it to him. Amen. He'll give the right words. He'll work out the situation. Amen. Do you believe that? We can worry about it, or we can declare it the way God wants it to be. Amen. And we believe that this is how God wants it to be. Amen. Amen. Father God, bless our dear sister from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet.